Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Thursday, May the 14th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, work could take place on a large building in Dover after rain started leaking through the balconies.
It is a heavy rain time. They're leaking, and the small rain, they're okay. And the heavy rain, they come to leaking inside.
And how bad does it get?
It depends on rain.
A racing driver speaks about his IVF journey to help other couples.
Turmoil, I think, was the best way I can describe it. 6 years of trying for a family was brutal. Every month you build up hope to only have then the disappointment.
And the man in charge of England cricket says Zach Crawley's time in the national team isn't over.
He's played well against some of the best bowlers in the world. He just has to go back and find form, go and find a game. He's played 4 years now under intense scrutiny. So he can now go back out of the spotlight and he can try and develop his game.
But first, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Medway man has been banned from a gym after threatening to kill his former partner. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, what's been revealed in court?
Well, a hearing was told Kyle Ferguson made the threats after his ex told him she didn't want to be with him anymore in December last year. He also said he would harm himself and turned up at her Rochester home and damaged her property. Ferguson went on to send abusive messages, then breached bail conditions after being arrested by turning up at JD Gyms at Horsted Retail Park in Chatham and going to her home.
And he admitted a number of charges, Lucy.
That's right. The 39-year-old from Frost Crescent in Chatham pleaded guilty to harassment and criminal damage, as well as driving without insurance and failing to provide a specimen of breath after he was found in a vehicle near her road. During a sentencing hearing, the court was also read a statement from his victim, which detailed how she was terrified he would return to her house and believed he wanted to kill her. She also said she was scared and got no sleep. However, Ferguson's defence team said he'd pleaded guilty at the earliest opportunity and was remorseful.
So what sentence has been handed down?
Ferguson was given a 24-week jail sentence for the harassment offence, which was suspended for 18 months. He was also jailed for 2 weeks for the criminal damage charge and 8 weeks for failing to provide a specimen, but to run concurrently alongside the previous suspended sentence. He received no separate penalty for driving without insurance, but his licence was endorsed. Ferguson was also banned from driving for 36 months because it was his second drink driving conviction within 10 years. He was also ordered to attend 10 rehabilitation sessions and pay his former partner compensation.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a Kent man whose mum and stepdad are being held in prison in Iran say they've lost all contact. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were detained in January last year while on a round-the-world motorbike trip. Lindsay's son Joe Bennett, who's from Folkestone, is worried their phone access has been withdrawn after they gave a media interview, and they now might not be safe. A robbery suspect has been released by mistake by police in Kent. Patrick Clark appeared in court via video link from the force's North Kent station on Saturday and was remanded in custody. But we're told he was allowed out on bail due to an admin error. The 19-year-old has links to Thanet and Medway. A man's been banned from Chatham Town Centre for 2 years. It's after Christopher Lehane was linked to 13 offences, including criminal damage, shoplifting and theft. The 49-year-old's been given a criminal behaviour order, which also prevents him from drinking alcohol in public. There are calls for more action to tackle dangerous dogs following two separate attacks in Canterbury. Two cockapoos were chased by a Rottweiler that was off its lead outside a home in Wincheap. A Chihuahua also died after being bitten by a Staffordshire Bull Terrier that ran from a garden on Pine Tree Avenue. Police say they're investigating and have spoken to both owners. Now, major repairs could be carried out on a property in Dover that's home to a number of businesses after rain started leaking through balconies. Dolphin House in Market Square was built back in the 1950s, and people who own companies below flats above say the situation is particularly bad during heavy downpours. Well, council bosses in the town have agreed to start a consultation process with leaseholders before any work takes place. Kanthapu Varatharajan is the owner of the Londis store within the building. he's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
Has your property had leaks this shop?
My bathroom is leaking. The backside of the bathroom is leaking.
That's on the same floor?
Yes, same floor, the backside.
Yeah, on the ground floor. Okay, yeah. And where else has it leaked? Has it come from upstairs?
It's come from the balcony.
Come from the balcony, okay. Yeah. How often has this happened?
It's a heavy drain time. They're leaking, and the small rain, they're okay. And the heavy drain, they come to leaking the inside.
And how bad does it get?
It depends on rain.
The worse the rain, the worse the leak.
The worse the rain, they're leaking a lot. And the small rain, the small leak, and it's gone.
Right.
Already we're paying maintaining charge nearly £4,000 every year. There's a normal maintaining.
That's anyway, without the flooding.
Yeah, without flooding. And if you're going to maintaining and they ask whatever the bill, they're asking to 20%. We send a letter to, we can't afford it to pay this much money.
Now, the proposed work would see existing walkways, balconies and flat roof areas overlaid with a liquid applied roofing system. Other repairs include replacing balustrades and railings, as well as repointing and replacing damaged brickwork where necessary.
Kent Online reports.
Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner has launched a survey about changes to policing that will reduce the number of forces across England and Wales. The government announced the idea earlier this year, but Matthew Scott's concerned about the lack of public consultation.
I want to know your views on what you think local policing should look like going forward. Do you support larger forces, or do you think they should stay the same? Do you support the rollout of AI in policing, or do you have concerns?
He says there's no evidence having fewer larger forces will be better than smaller ones. A cafe on Rochester High Street has been damaged after a wheelie bin was set alight. Crews were called to tackle the blaze outside the Pink House early yesterday morning. Smoke has now been cleared from the building and the business is open as normal. Hand washing and shower facilities have reopened at a Kent hospital after more than 2 weeks of water supply issues. But patients at Darren Valley in Dartford are still being told not to drink from the taps. A contamination problem was first identified on April the 28th and tests have been taking place. In other health news, new pay rates are coming into force for some NHS workers in Kent. It'll see flexible staff and those doing overtime receive reduced hourly fees, with some losing around £5 an hour for weekday shifts. The changes affect workers registered with the NHS Professionals Staff Bank, which is used by trusts to fill gaps in rotas. Meantime, plans to extend the maternity ward at a Kent hospital have been given the go-ahead. Inspectors have raised concerns about outdated buildings at the QEQM in Margate. Bosses say the maternity unit will get at least £1.8 million of investment. The sister of a resident who was filmed by a worker at a care home in Medway is demanding a face-to-face apology. 20-year-old Amy Hinks was sacked after bosses at Frinsbury House near Rochester were made aware of the footage, which she insists wasn't shared. Well, Claire Tutt's brother appeared in that footage, something she says has caused her family profound distress and upset. She's welcomed the home's handling of the situation, but is also calling for a more thorough investigation and thinks CCTV should be installed.
Kent Online reports.
More than 200 cannabis plants have been found being grown in Ashford. It's after police searched three properties in the south of the town following concerns about drug production. Investigations are underway to find out if the sites are linked. So far, no one's been arrested. Trust in water companies has fallen to a record low. A study's found fewer people think bills are fair, while there are also concerns about sewage pollution and flooding. Thames Water was ranked the least trusted provider, with Southern and South East Water also dropping last year. Now, a Kent man who spent 6 years trying to have a baby with his wife has described their IVF journey as a turmoil and brutal. Toby and Katie Trice had two failed rounds on the NHS and spent thousands on private tests. Toby, who's 35 and is now a racing driver, is using that to raise awareness of male infertility problems. And he's been speaking to Maisie from our colleagues at KMTV.
About 12 months after Katie and I decided that we wanted to try for a family, 12 months into that journey, with no sniff of a pregnancy, was kind of the early warning signs, really, that it might be something kind of wrong. We're both in our mid-20s and young, fit, healthy, and hopeful that we wouldn't have any issues, or never thought that would be a thing. But here we were 12 months later, ringing up the GP to book an appointment to sort of get an understanding of kind of why we're not falling pregnant. That then led on for us to have some really, really early diagnostics. So a semen analysis for me and some gynecology-led tests for my wife at the time. And yeah, and that kind of didn't give us too many answers other than the fact that, yes, there's clearly something going wrong here. So that led us on to a journey that then went on for almost 6 years.
And what was kind of going through your mind across those 6 years?
I think it was a complete turmoil, I think was the best way I can describe it. 6 years of trying for a family was brutal. Every month you build up hope to only have then the disappointment. And those feelings of becoming a dad and becoming a mum for my wife just compounds and just kept, you know, that kind of yearn and determination to have a family just grew stronger and stronger. Meanwhile, during that time, there was friends and family of ours that were having children, and of course, we were so happy for them. But it just created this huge level of envy and jealousy. And just why us? Why were we in this kind of situation when we both felt that it shouldn't have ever been a thing?
Definitely. And obviously, with your two rounds of IVF that didn't go very well, how frustrating was that for you?
Really frustrating. I mean, we always wished and hoped that we would never need IVF, but we were obviously along the road that was going to be a thing of what we needed to obviously get across the line and have a family. But so we were offered the two NHS funded rounds, hopeful that it would work. And I remember going into the appointment thinking, this is it now, this is all we need. And obviously, sadly, those two rounds failed, and it was a really, really sad time. You know, we still have those little pictures now of those embryos that were transferred, and they didn't make it, unfortunately. So it was so sad. And we just didn't know really where to turn to next. And I think it was at that point that I fell into my depression. And that became my kind of lowest ebb, really. I was trying to stay strong for my wife through that whole time. By this point, we're about 5 years into our treatment. And I just hit rock bottom.
And of course, you initially, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were initially told everything was fine. So I can only imagine what you kind of feel like, you know, going through that journey, expecting, you know, everything to be okay. What did that feel like?
Really frustrating, because we had, the community call it unexplained infertility. I now know it was just undiagnosed infertility issues, which obviously in the end was me, which we'll come on to. But just not having any kind of real answers and nothing really to fix was quite frustrating. My wife had polycystic ovary syndrome, so there was a kind of subtle issue there on her side, but nothing that would be of major concern for a fertility consultant. We were just told by a fertility consultant at the time just that we need to keep repeating IVF and keep trying, and eventually we'll get there. But for me, that just wasn't enough. There was clearly something going on. And through my Racing for Fertility campaign and meeting some of the male fertility experts in the world of fertility, that allowed me to understand actually I was the problem the whole time after looking at some diagnostics.
And talk to me a little bit about this campaign. Like, how did it start? Where did you meet the people to support you?
Yeah, so it was a bit of a strange one, really. So I created something called Racing for Fertility back in 2019, which was quite a long way into our fertility journey. I started racing as just a bit of fun with a friend. Purely just to get myself out of my head. I was so depressed, so down, and I just needed something to go and do because my life revolved around either work or fertility treatment or appointments, and I just lost who I was. So I took to racing as just a bit of fun at Butmore Park in Kent. Two guys, going to have a crack, and honestly, it was like medicine. I remember today, you know, to this day, putting on my helmet on for the first time, closing the visor, doing this race, and I remember just feeling really emotional and just escaping from this world for, you know, just an hour long. But I realised that I had an element of talent, and I managed to become a racing driver in 2019. And quite frankly, racing saved my life. I was so depressed that I'm so grateful for today that I managed to actually become a racing driver in this weird turmoil world that I was in at the time. So I didn't want to just become a racing driver and leave it there. I thought, do you know what? Racing has literally saved my life. I want to now tell my story to the world. I want to kind of come out, and I can't be the only one on this planet that's dealing with these emotions and these feelings and these fertility issues. So Racing for Fertility was created, and I reached out to the media to explain what I was up to. And I was using motorsport purely as a platform to talk about facility, because it was kind of very much like this perceived macho world of racing, talking about something that isn't perceived as macho. In talking about fertility, it becomes quite an awkward topic among men. And honestly, things just blew up, went crazy. And I've been racing now for 6 years, competing across the UK, telling my story, raising awareness, and it's helped the lives of so many other couples be more aware of male fertility, and you know, more specifically, and helping people have families. So I'm so grateful for that whole campaign and what it is today.
After Toby had surgery, Katie fell pregnant naturally, and they now have a 4-year-old son. Toby's hoping to help other couples by sharing his story, and you can also read it in full at Kent Online. A Kent boy who was diagnosed with juvenile arthritis at the age of 2 is set to take on the Three Peaks Challenge. Jude Kelstrup from Limnear Hythe is extremely vulnerable to infections because of the autoimmune disorder. He previously spent several weeks in hospital with sepsis and pneumonia. The 11-year-old wants to raise money for organisations that helped him by climbing the highest peaks in England, Scotland and Wales in just 24 hours. Two elephants are leaving a Kent Animal Park as part of a swap with another zoo. Howlett's is saying goodbye to Impa and Bachumba, who are joining another herd at Noah's Ark in Bristol. Another bull elephant called Shaka is coming in their place. Bosses say the move will give the animals a chance to establish themselves outside of their family group, which would be natural in the wild. We'll get to see the UK's Eurovision entry for the first time at the contest later. Look Mum No Computer, who's Sam Battle from Ramsgate, will perform Eins Zwei Drei during the second semi-final in Vienna. He's already through to the main show on Saturday and has created the set himself. And it's a big thank you from everyone at our sister radio station KMFM, as figures show they've got more listeners. They've got 175,000 weekly listeners across the county.
Kent Online Sports.
The man in charge of England cricket says Zach Crawley's time in the national side isn't over for good. The Kent batter's been dropped from the test squad for the first game against New Zealand this summer. He struggled during the Ashes defeat in Australia over the winter. Rob Key is England's director of cricket.
I think that it was clearly going to be an important start to the summer to go and see who was going to sort of stake a claim. There wasn't lots of the batters that had done enough in the Ashes to be able to say, I'm guaranteed. You look at the way that Ben Duckett has come back and he's played, you know, and Zach was asked to do the same thing. Unfortunately for him, he's not been able to do that. So he's now got the opportunity to go and find a way to become an out run scorer. I think he knew it was coming. And Zach's been probably, you know, over the last few years, Zach's been one of the best people to have around in that setup in terms of his character. And he'll take this in his stride and he'll come back, you know, hopefully it'll be the making of him.
On to tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu's been handed a wild card for the upcoming WTA event in Strasbourg. The British number one from Orpington withdrew from the Italian Open last week due to illness. The event's due to start on Sunday. And £3 million is going to be spent on a new sport and wellness centre in Kent. We're told the Square One facility in Aylesford will include 10 indoor paddle courts, 4 golf simulators, a restaurant, gym and Pilates studio. Bosses say it should open this summer. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.